The text we'll be preaching from is John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. So if you could turn with me to John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. All right, John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and said, and saw Jesus standing there, and yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Excuse me, Joe. Could you pass my bag? I left my glasses in my bag. Or I think they're in a top thing. And after Joe passing my glasses, we would pray. You're in a case. Oh, yeah, there we go. Thank you, sir. I can see. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and for your favor. We just pray for your manifest presence this morning, Lord God. These are your people. We are your people, Lord God, so we desire to hear from you. Put me behind the cross and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and for me. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, whatever you have to say, we receive it. We thank you for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, so there's an unusual phenomenon that's been going around the world. Some of you have heard of these stories where it's becoming somewhat common in the Middle East for people of the Muslim faith to have a dream. And they will have a vision why Christ will appear to them. And some say they have had visions. And this has been happening all around the world. In fact, someone you may know by the name of Perez Hilton. Does that name ring a bell to anyone? Perez Hilton was extremely famous in the early 2000s. He's one of those kind of gossip columnists. He was one of those celebrities who attacked celebrities all the time. But one of the things about him, he was very anti-Christian. Very anti-Christian. In fact, in 2009, there was this beauty pageant, and a lady from the state of California gave her testimony, and she talked about her Christian faith during a beauty pageant, and he just happened to be one of the judges. And he attacked her like crazy. He was so anti-Christ. And then, I'm not quite sure when, but he got sick. It started off as a flu, and the doctors could not find out what was going on with him. It took him about like 5 days. And then they finally discovered that he had an infection. And then they discovered that he had another infection. And it was so bad, while he was in the hospital for like 21 days, they had to call the emergency crew in to revive him. He was in a very bad situation. But these are his words, not mine. He said during that experience, he saw God. And he's now a believer. And the thing I find very interesting about this is that people who have not seen Jesus or have had experience with Jesus, when they saw Jesus in that vision or in that dream, or when they were in a coma and it got revived or whatever happened with Perez Hilton, there was no ambiguity about who Jesus was. When they saw him, they knew him. No ambiguity. But that's not what's happening here, which is unusual. We have Mary Magdalene, who spent all this time with Jesus, and then when she saw him outside the tomb, she did not recognize him. And I say, what? She thought, okay, maybe he's the gardener. And I was like, you know, I read this passage several times, and I was like, how can this be? Someone who spent all this time with Jesus did not recognize him outside the tomb. And I thought, okay, maybe it was the distance. Maybe, you know, Jesus too far off that she didn't recognize him. Or maybe it was like kind of a peripheral thing. You know, maybe she kind of saw him out the corner of her eye, because it says in the beginning that she turned and saw Jesus. And then when he called her, she turned and said, teacher. So maybe she wasn't situated correctly and didn't recognize it was Jesus. Then I thought, okay, maybe it was the circumstances. I mean, she just suffered a loss. And not just any loss, there was her leader. I mean, for many, they thought he was going to set up the kingdom right then and there and rule the earth. I mean, they were under Roman oppression. So, like, Jesus died. That's an incredible loss. So maybe it was the circumstances, just dealing with the grief. And, you know, I also consider this too. I mean, like, her eyes were just so watery that she couldn't recognize, because the scripture says over and over again how she's weeping. She was upset. So maybe she couldn't recognize Jesus because she was so upset. I mean, like, sobbing, dealing with these tears. You know, the text tells us in Romans chapter 10, which we have heard often, that faith comes by what? Hearing. Right? So, like, if you have experience before leaving this earth and you see Jesus, that's highly unlikely. Possible. It's very well possible you can see him in a vision or whatever, but it's unlikely. Most of us would come to faith by what? Hearing. You know, I should say, most of us will have the opportunity to come to faith by hearing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. You know, what's interesting, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is when he said, you know, it comes by hearing. The previous verse, which is 16, says this. Isaiah asked the question, who shall believe our report? You know, there are a lot of reasons, as I enumerated a second ago, where like it's possible that Mary didn't. You know what I think is probably like the number one reason? Expectation. You know, you got to consider this. This is a one-off. The only time in human history someone died on the cross and rose on the third day. This is a one-off. So imagine this, you know, say you go to Walmart every other day and you see this guy outside standing, said like, you know, attracting the crowd and saying, hey, you know, one of these days I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to be raised on the third day. How would you respond to that guy? He's out of his mind. This is crazy. This is lunacy. This is a one-off. No one, even if they were told, was expecting Christ to actually be raised from the dead. No one was expecting that. And let me build my case, starting with Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. Got my helpers here. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise from the dead. And they remembered his words and returned to the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now these women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe the women. So you have like two angels that the women meet at the tomb. They said that Christ is risen. They hear that message and they take it to the disciples, and the disciples said, this is nonsense. It's nonsense. It's lunacy. Someone being raised from the dead, even though we say he's the Christ, even if we believe he's the Christ, this is something beyond our imagination. Expectation. You know, the great thing about the Gospels is that, you know, they all tell different stories about the same events. So when you read the John's account of this same event, it says that like Mary peeped into the tomb and she saw two angels there, which is a great picture of the mercy seat. right? They didn't say what they say here in Luke, but they say, why are you weeping? That's what John reports. And then she sees Jesus, and again, the question is, why are you weeping? Now, Luke expands on this conversation with the angels. So what am I saying to you? When Mary heard that, she didn't believe. When Mary heard this testimony from the angels, she was still weeping. She didn't believe. But when she held on to that truth and she shared it with the disciples, they didn't believe. Who shall believe our report? That's what Isaiah asked us. Who? So, this is important, and I tell you why. There's no doubt that Christ can part the sky and share the gospel like he appeared to people in the visions or the dreams or whatever. But instead, he used someone infallible like me to share the gospel from the pulpit. This is the decision, his prerogative. He allowed us to be a part of the Great Commission. And I don't know why, but this is his choice. But in saying that, people could hear me preach the gospel and I could share testimonies. I could do all these things. But this fact remains, who shall believe the report? In fact, you know, when you're talking about like pastors and preachers, angels, the messengers kind of used interchangeably. We have angels in this position, so angels can deliver this message as well, right? Who shall believe the report? And I really don't have the answer to that. I really don't have the answer why some receive it and some don't. I can make a case that, like, it's an intellectual issue, right? In fact, Paris Hilton said this prior to coming to the faith. He said that I'm just too practical to believe in Christianity. You know, why do people get canceled? This is his argument. You know, but me personally, I'll submit to you that it's not a rational issue. It's a heart issue. The question is, like, when Christ speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, how will you respond? That's what it really is. Because that's grace in this passage that I'm going to share with you in a second. But I really want to labor this point by saying that, like, God can send messengers, whether you're talking like angels or preachers or others, and a message is still not received. Who shall believe our report? But, you know, like when I read John chapter 20, there is so much grace in this. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to turn that with me. In verse 13, it says, talking about the angels. In verse 13, they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Jesus said to her, in verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And here's the grace. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." Man, did you hear that? Did you hear it? You got all this general stuff going on, right? Woman. She's not hearing that. Then he says, "Mary." And then she responds, "Teacher." All of us hopefully had that experience. And I'm not necessarily saying an audible voice, You know, maybe some connection to your spirit. It could be circumstances of how God chooses to communicate where you could get to a place where it says, oh, he's talking to me. It's not some kind of like general where you can just look at the birds and the trees and know that God exists. No, he's talking to you. And when he speaks to you, how do you respond? Do you turn and say, teacher? Or do you turn and say, that can't be true? You know, like the questions I asked in the beginning, you know, like, why is it that Mary did not recognize Jesus? And I say it could be like circumstances. You know, John the Baptist, we all know the story, right? When Jesus came to get baptized, John saw him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. That's what he said. The first time he saw Jesus, recorded in John, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Does that sound confident in what he believed? It does, right? Later on, John got thrown into prison. Later on, he got thrown into prison. And he had a conversation with his disciples. He said, go to Jesus to see if that's the one, or should we look for another? Your circumstances can affect your reception of Christ. And I just want to add this too, you know, when we're talking about like John in prison, this is not Lusteric. He's not getting three meals a day. You know, it's probably like damp, dirty, dirt floor, rats, probably all of that stuff. So let's just bypass his circumstances. He's in a tough situation. And we all know that he got beheaded. I don't know if he knew that at the time, but he wasn't in great condition. I mean, he wasn't in a great place. So sometimes, you know, when I'm talking about like circumstances, I'm talking about that. And I mentioned like distance. You know, we've had the privilege of growing up here in the United States, most of us, where the gospel is preached. I mean, you got a church on almost every corner down south. It's not like that around the world. So, like, what I'm saying is, like, the distance things, you know, just geographically, it may be harder to see Jesus. Or culturally. There are a lot of reasons that can hinder someone from not seeing Jesus. But he can be heard. He can be heard. There is so much grace in the fact that he knew Mary individually. And the case I want to make to you is that he knows you personally. He does. And I can't figure that out. I don't know how that works. But like God can hear everyone's prayers at the same time. I remember Dr. Darrell Bach at Dallas. And, you know, we were just having a chapel, whatever. And he said this. He said that, like, the thing that amazes me every time I fly, when I go up in the plane and I see all those lights down below, he said that, like, in every one of those houses, God could hear each individual prayer at the same time, even if they're different languages, dialects, or whatever. I cannot wrap my mind around that. But that's the truth. You know, I want to share a story with you in closing. Actually, I'm do one more thing after I share the story. So, like, there's been two people who I love in my life that told me they saw Jesus. And these people love me, and they have, like, absolutely no reason to lie to me. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you both stories. The first one, and I haven't shared this with a lot of people, the first one is with my mother. So, like, many of y'all know the story when my mom had, like, congestive heart failure. She died on the operating table, and they revived her, and she was in a coma for, like, 3 days. I think some of y'all know that story. When I was in a room with her, and you know, she just came out of the coma, and she's sure no one else was in there but me. And then she said, "Lamont," call me by my middle name. She said, "I saw Jesus." And me being the idiot that I am, what did he look like? She shut that conversation down really quick. But she has absolutely no reason to lie to me. The second time I had that experience with Mother Mary, some of y'all may remember her. So, like, when I first started going to this church, I used to visit this lady in the nursing home. She was like 102 years old. And so she was coming towards the end of her life. And one time, I used to minister a lot, and one time I was visiting, she was so incredibly weak. I mean, she could not even pick up her cup. She was extremely weak. And then she said to me, she said, "I want to go to church." I said, "You want to go to church?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You want to go to Maple Avenue," which is the church she and I attended together years ago, back in the 90s. She said, "No." Then I said, "Oh, you want to go to the church next door?" Which I took her to. I checked out of the nursing home. I took her to the church next door once. She said, "No." And then I said, "You want to go to First Baptist?" And in my mind, I was like, "That's a long drive. You want to go to First Baptist on Narragansett?" And she said, "No." Then she said to me, "I want to go to the church where Jesus is." And, you know, I'm not really an emotional guy, but, like, I started to realize what she was saying, and I started bawling. And I was trying to hide it from her, but, like, I was incredibly emotional at that time. So when she said that, I started to ask questions. And, you know, and I'm not going to tell you all of it, you know, but I remember after she said that, she goes, "Oh, what a celebration." And the way she was talking, it's like she had one foot in this world and one foot in the next. And, you know, so she was seeing something that I could not see. And then she said to me, she said, "I want to go with the little girl." I said, "Little girl?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Who's this little girl? Can you see her right now?" She said, "Yes." And I say, "Do you recognize her?" She's like, "No." And again, I'm like crying, and I'm trying to really hold it back. Well, I mean, I was a mess. And I don't know if, like, God just found mercy on me or whatever the case may be, because I wasn't ready to lose her. And then all of a sudden, she came back. And that's when she told me that she saw Jesus. And because I'm an idiot, asked the same question I asked 20 years earlier. What did he look like? And she shut that thing down in a heartbeat, the exact same way my mom did. She got frustrated with me, and that was it. I said, "Okay, if that ever happens again, I'm not going to ask that question. I'm going to just go with the flow." But, you know, after the little episode was over, she was able to pick up a water cup with ease. she literally had one foot in the other world and one foot here. And these two people loved me. And they have absolutely no reason to lie to me at all. So when they say they saw Jesus, I believe them. I really do. I have a great friend of mine who I've been, I served with him like years ago. And, every so often we talk about faith, and he grew up in the church actually. And, he says to me every so often, he calls me Sea Devil, my Navy nickname, one of them. And he goes, yeah, you don't have no heaven or hell to put me in. I say, I know I don't. And then we talk about like people that say that, we had conversations where people say they died and came back to life or whatever. But his argument has always been that like no one ever came back and actually proved that there's a heaven or a hell. That's his argument. And I said to him, I said, if we consider that as to be a legitimate argument, we can say angels and demons. I mean, there's a lot of proof in regards to that. And there are like just so many testimonies out there about heaven and hell, about what God has done miraculously, but still it comes on like, who can believe our report? I want to talk about Calvinism a little bit, but like, I know y'all want to get to this ham or whatever y'all got at home. Okay, let me just say this one about Calvinism. So like in Calvinism, you have the best way to explain Calvinism, they got this acronym called TULIP, right? But in TULIP, you have this, you have this L, right, which is like limited atonement, right? And the argument is that like Christ didn't die for everyone. He just died for the elect. I don't believe that. I believe he died for everyone, and we just have an opportunity to respond. He said, if I be lifted up, he said, all men, right? He also said that he delayed his coming that none will perish. So in terms of like, how God decides who you want to appear to in a vision, or why did he appear to Mary and not others, I can't answer that question. But what we should be doing, we should be vigilant about sharing the gospel, because this would not last forever. And people won't last forever. I just want to read this and then we'll close and you can get to your ham. Whatever you're cooking. This is John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, talking to Thomas, have you now believed? Then he said this, blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Everyone would not see Christ this side of heaven. They just won't. And I don't know how this works in God's economy, who he decides to appear to and who he doesn't. But I do know this, is that faith comes by hearing. And that hearing comes through you. It comes through me. If we really care about others, we have to share the gospel. I mean, if you really love them. I'm going to go ahead and close out because I'm tempted to ramble on about what hell is like and why it's so important, whatever. But all right, let's pray. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for your grace and for your favor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the opportunity to participate in a great commission. Heavenly Father, we don't say you do, but we are able to share the gospel, and we're able to baptize, and we are able to make disciples. I just pray, Heavenly Father, we will be vigilant about doing so. Because eternal separation from you is not good for anyone. Heavenly Father, we desire that everyone will be in fellowship with you for eternity. So Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Lord God, I just pray, Heavenly Father, you could keep us mindful of the sacrifice that you've made. And it's through being able to reconcile us back to the Father. We just thank you for who you are. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.